Morning, guys. Welcome to Tuesday Manna. The last few weeks, we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit, right? When we are baptized into the Holy Spirit, these are the attributes that people should see. The verse that really hit me as I was looking at this week was actually in Matthew, and it came from Jesus. And he said in Matthew 15:6, it says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" So, when people see us, when they look at us, they see our actions, the fruit of our actions, okay? And in Galatians 5, the second half, Paul is discussing the works of the flesh versus the works of the Spirit. And I don't know if I've done this yet, so I actually want to read what Paul talks about as the works of the flesh, and we'll finish to the end to get kind of some cool context on the works of the Spirit. But it starts in verse 19, so we're in Galatians 5:19, and we're going to contrast the works of the flesh versus the works of the Spirit. Just because as I was looking back, I realized I don't think I talked about that, right? I've talked about the works of the Spirit the whole time, which are amazing. And we've looked at love, joy, peace, and patience. But let's contrast that today. Let's look at that versus the works of the flesh. So that starts in 19. So Galatians 5, verse 19. "Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time and past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a list, right? Then he jumps straight into 22. "But," thank goodness for but, right? "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And I feel like those last two verses kind of tie together, right? If we live in the Spirit, we should walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we don't have the attributes of the flesh, that huge list that Paul names, right? We have the attributes. We have the fruit of the Spirit. As a kind of side note, a theme for our school this year is in everything. And what I love, I've done a chapel a couple times for the kids, and one that we really focused on first off was in everything we do, we need to focus on kindness, right? And our focus is in everything Jesus, but I also think in everything we need to be kind. So kindness is the next one on the list that I want to talk about today. So, to look at this attribute, I want to look at a story, this time in the New Testament. We're going to look at a story in Luke 10:25-37. Okay, but before we do that, let's just pray and let's invite God to join us. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for these mornings, God, that we can just study your word, God. Grow closer to you, God. Look at your words to us, how you talk to us, God. I just pray that we would also pray and talk to you on a consistent basis. God, I just pray that as we look into these verses today, God, that you would help the fruit, the attribute of kindness just show in our lives, God. Sometimes that's not easy, but God, I pray that you'd help that show. And I thank you for who you are. We thank you for your son, and we pray these things in his name. And everyone said, amen. All right, so as we're going to Luke, someone once said that kindness is just love with its work boots on. And that really hit me hard, right? Because to be kind to someone, you have to have that spirit of love. In our story today, we're going to look at a lawyer who is coming up and testing Jesus. And essentially, he's trying to justify himself. And he also is. And the interesting thing about all of this is Jesus knows. So as we look, I want you to pay attention really to the lawyer. Why is he asking these questions? Look at his motive. And I also want you to look at the story. Okay. A little back note. Samaritans were hated by Jews. They were called half-breeds and they were hated by the Jews. Okay. Just something to know. So we are going to read the story of the Good Samaritan. May have given that away, but I would like to start in verse 25. So Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So I love this. So he comes up to test Jesus, which Jesus knows, right? So he asks Jesus a question, and Jesus answers the question with a question. Because Jesus knows that he already knows the answer, but Jesus also knows that in his heart, he might not have what it takes to answer that question, right? Or live out that question, I should say. So he tells the right answer. But Jesus even answers that. Let's continue. Verse 28. And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I love this, right? Wanting to justify himself. When we find ourselves in the spot of justifying ourselves, it's never a good thing, right? Well, everyone else was doing it. Well, you know, I probably deserve that, so I'm going to throw this line here so I can get it, right? When we find ourselves justifying, it's a scary place to be in. Just so you know, Jesus knows this too, but Jesus answers this question with a story. So let's continue reading in verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among thieves?" So Jesus answers this question of a lawyer trying to justify himself, saying, who's my neighbor, right? Is it my inner group? Is this my neighbor? I'll love that person because he loves me, right? So Jesus answers with this story. And it's interesting, the people, a priest, right? You think a priest would definitely stop and help the man. But no, he goes to the far side of the road and continues walking. A Levite, right? From another good tribe of Israel. Hops its side of the road, keeps walking. Now a Samaritan, those hated by Jews, right? Despised, the half-breeds. They go in and he comes, has compassion, fixes him up, takes him to an inn where he can be taken care of. And Jesus asked that question in 36, which of these three was the neighbor to him who fell among thieves? In 37, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. He didn't even say it, right? He can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan, right? The Samaritan was the neighbor. No, it's the one that showed mercy. And Jesus simply ends it and says, go and do likewise. I can just imagine the lawyer's face, right? Because he was trying to test Jesus, first of all, a test that Jesus passed, and the lawyer definitely failed. Then he tries to justify himself, and Jesus tells him that the most hated person, right, the half-breed, is the one who is also his neighbor, who was the neighbor, right? And if he's a neighbor, then who more should that lawyer have as a neighbor? right? So in this story, we see love with its work boots on, right? The Samaritan comes, heals the man, takes him to an inn, pays for everything so that he can heal up, right? So kindness isn't the easiest thing to show, but as Christians, when people see us, they should see these fruits, right? They should see love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things that they should see when they look at us. Jesus said, by our fruits, they'll know us, right? By our love for one another is another way. He said, by your love for one another, they will know who you are. So are we being kind to each other? If people looked at us as Christians, could they see that we're Christians by our love for one another, by the fruits that we exhibit every day? My encouragement for you today is to show that kindness, whether that's paying for the person behind you in line, right? Something you can always do, whether that's granting forgiveness, whether that's giving a hug to someone who needs it, helping those who are mourning, right? Consulting those. My encouragement for you today is to find my challenge, not my encouragement, my challenge is for you to find one person that you can be kind to, that you might not normally be kind to. Show your love with work boots on today, okay? Go out, like Jesus said, go and do likewise. Have an amazing day, guys.